In a recent survey of 1,200 left-of-center American adults, 55% responded that assassinating Donald Trump could be justified. We're swimming in shark-infested cultural waters. Some are suffering from Christianophobia. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they'll also persecute you. Please give today to help AFA keep equipping you and others to stand for Christ. Help us shine His light into our dark culture. Visit afa.net/warrior.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of this program, and it's Thursday, July the 20th. No, it is not. Forget that. Don't write your checks for that. Thursday, July the 17th, 2025.
Good morning, Correctamundo.
Good morning, Brother Ed
Vitagliano. Good morning. Good morning.
What was that expression you just used?
Correctamundo.
Oh, is that Spanish?
I don't know where it came.
Oh, you just made it up.
I just have been saying that since high school, and it probably means nothing.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's Latin for something, but...
Oh, it's Latin, not Spanish.
No, it's not Spanish.
It sounded a little Spanish there.
It could be. Now that I'm saying it, I don't know where I got that. Yeah.
Thanks for that minute of vital information that I asked for.
That's the danger you run anytime you ask me a question.
I know we're both culprits in that waste of 1 minute. Good morning, Fred Jackson.
Good morning, guys.
Anything good happening in your world, Fred? You want to share?
It's all good.
Okay.
I was, as other people have said at my age, I was able to put my feet on the floor this morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad.
Amen.
Every day that you get up and breathe.
That's right.
Good day.
I want to correcto myself. That is Spanish. I just looked it up. The phrase correctamundo means, translates to right world or the world is right.
Okay.
There you go.
I know my Spanish. I just can't speak it. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Correcto.
When it sounds Spanish, just... All right, good morning, Christopher Woodward.
Buenos dias.
Hey, right there, that's some good French right there, man. You're not gonna fool me. You're wearing that's an Auburn Tiger orange you got on right there, right? Or is that Florida Gator orange?
It's a Father's Day shirt that I'm proud of.
It is a pretty shirt, yes. Yeah.
I have not hit the transfer portal. I'm still a proud Bulldog.
I just wondered if you were trying to compete with Steve Jordahl for recognition.
I hate to keep dragging this out, but I did. One of our listeners,
what old man
guy
do.
I'm friends with on Facebook, he said correctamundo comes from the Fawns. So I may very well have been saying this since high school.
That's true.
Yes.
Fonzie.
Correctamundo.
Henry Winkler's.
Yep.
Greatest.
Ed will now sing the theme song to Happy Days.
that was a great theme song, by the way.
You know, that's weird because I just listened to that this morning.
Did you really?
Yeah, I was mixing a little drink in the kitchen. And first I listened to Gomer Pyle.
You're mixing a drink in the kitchen that early?
Not alcoholic.
I knew it.
My bad.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's just my. Nobody wants to know about the drink.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But anyway, so I just listened to some happy music. I listened to the theme song to Gomer Pyle, USMC, and followed it right up with Happy Days. So
yes,
strange.
Did you know that the phrase "jump the shark" comes from Happy Days?
Yes, it does.
Yep. I tell you, I can't. The theme to Gomer Pyle. Maybe I'm the only one. I get emotional. You know what I'm saying? I get, I can't listen to that very much.
You get emotional?
Yeah, it's just something stirs in me that causes me when I hear, you know, Gomer Pyle.
Something stirs in you.
All right.
I think the mischief is stirring in you now.
All right. We're gonna get this show on the right tracks.
We promise. Now.
All right, so Fred, Ed, and Tim, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We're here every Monday through Friday. Go ahead, Chris.
All right. So President Donald Trump re-entered office about 6 to 7 months ago, and things have been going pretty well for the president in terms of, you know, the economy. He signed some bills. He got his One Big Beautiful Act, which was his kind of his big legislation that he really wanted legislators to debate and pass. And he
bombed
got that
Iran.
July 4th. Yeah, he bombed Iran.
Bombed Iran, a little bombing of Iran.
It was a big, beautiful thing. Yeah. But one thing that's hanging over this administration's head 6 months into its return to office is this Epstein list.
Yeah.
And I say that
Jeffrey
hanging,
Epstein.
Yes.
Right.
I say that it's hanging over his head because he said he would release the list, or he thought the Biden administration should release the list. Pam Bondi said that they would do it, and they did put out some information earlier this year, but that turned out to be a big nothing burger. And in recent days, we have been told that it was all a made-up thing. It's not a big deal. Don't focus on it. And now you have people that voted for Trump, campaigned for Trump, now saying, we should release this Epstein list. Why in the world is this being held in the dark here? So it is a big issue for this president, and this is a show called Today's Issues.
Yes. I say free the list. You know what I'm saying?
Free it. Free the list.
Free the list.
Free Willie.
Okay, in all seriousness, and we're trying to quit talking about this story because it's sordid, but it keeps rearing its ugly head in the news because there's a great war of words going on between people in the Make America Great Again movement, which I'm for.
Sure.
And now President Trump and some on his team. About the Jeffrey Epstein files. Now, in case you've had your head in under in the sand, I was going to go under a rock, but that would...
That's painful.
That's hurt, yes, yeah. Exactly. And I was mixing metaphors right there, actually. Wouldn't that be?
Well, yeah.
You keep your head in the sand, which means ignorant, right? You keep your... You hide under a rock.
Yeah, none of us are rocket surgeons on this panel, right?
Yes. So. There's a metaphor there, too, I think.
I've also mixed...
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, yeah, no, I got that.
Yeah.
I got
that.
It took me a minute. Yeah. You're a rocket surgeon. All right. So Jeffrey Epstein, just to review, was a big wheeler and dealer in New York City for many years. He was a socialite, a celebrity, a influencer. And so he was also got known as a guy who had an island in the Caribbean, which turned out to be where he had underage girls go, and people went
trapped.
There. People went there to do things. They were terrible, right? And people flew on his plane. They were friends of his. So he and many celebrities and big names.
Right.
Bill Gates has been mentioned. He even admitted to that. He didn't admit to doing anything illegal. He admitted to being friends of Jeffrey Epstein's and going on a...
And as far as we know, the parties that he hosted in New York City and the thing and his gatherings on the island were not, apparently, not solely about trafficked girls.
Right.
So there may have been people like Bill Gates who went there and did not participate or... maybe less credibly, had no idea they were going on.
Including among his friends was then New York real estate tycoon Donald Trump.
Right.
And they were pals with Jeffrey Epstein. So he had many, many high-profile friends and so forth and so on. And I'm sure many of them had no idea what he was doing. And some of them were on the periphery, but they got pictures taken with him and so forth and so on. So, but the scandal has been who was going to the island with him and participating in illicit activities that in illegal activities with underage girls and anyway, that whole world. His top assistant went to prison. Federal prison for this. What's her
Ghislaine
name?
Ghislaine Maxwell.
Yeah,
I'm
setting this up again because I know some people go, I know the name and I hear about this, but I don't know what all he did. Well, that's some of the stuff that he got into and what he did, Jeffrey Epstein, and then he went to prison, federal prison
for it,
and then he quote committed suicide while in prison. Okay. Well, there's a lot of people who say he didn't commit suicide. He was killed because he knew where all the bodies were buried, so to speak, and somebody very rich and powerful and influential didn't want him spilling the beans on them and other people. There you go. I've said it, right?
Right.
So the MAGA world has been calling for the release of all the names associated in this file of investigations with Jeffrey Epstein. Of course, he's dead. He can't speak on this anymore, but that speaks for him, those files. Well, Pam Bondi, the attorney general for President Trump, said a few months ago, I've got the file on my desk and I'm going to go through it.
Well, and she was asked, do you have the list? And files related to the investigations. Yeah. And there's supposedly, according to some, a list of all the people who have visited the island,
right,
and perhaps who participated in these illegal activities.
Right.
So she was asked, do you have the list? Are you going to release the list? And she said, I have it on my desk along with the JFK and MLK files.
Yes.
So was she talking about the list or the files?
And the idea is, Fred, correct me if I'm wrong, and then Chris, I wanted you to play this. The idea is that Jeffrey Epstein would have been having these people caught in compromising positions or on trips they shouldn't have been involved with or doing all kinds of things that they don't want the public finding out about. Jeffrey Epstein would have kept files on this, so to speak, in order to blackmail these people to get them to do things they otherwise maybe wouldn't do that influenced our government. Is that, and maybe foreign governments, is that, if I laid out, and with Ed's help here, if I laid out the whole scandal?
That's been part of the script. Of course, a lot of people are wondering, okay, Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide 2019. I believe it was.
We talked. That's right.
Yeah, 2019. So a lot of people are wondering, okay, then Joe Biden comes along. He's president. He's got an administration. He's got a justice system. How come they didn't say anything? If there were high-profile Republicans in the list.
You would have think they would have.
Oh, let's talk about this. Silence. But here's the problem that President Trump has gotten into. The MAGA people are saying, okay, now we're in charge, and as you just pointed out, Pam Bondi has said it's files on my desk, I'm going to get to it, and now they're saying, okay, why aren't you releasing something? Joe Biden didn't do it, so we could speculate there were Democrats on the list. Now that you have the file on your desk, Pam Bondi, how come you're not releasing the information? Could it be there are Republicans on the list that you don't want out there?
Or foreign leaders we're trying to protect.
Or CIA people.
Right. Who knows?
Or Mossad people from Israel. So all of this is out there. So there's this giant ball of speculation.
Right.
And some MAGA people say, let's burst the bubble on that so it get out there in the public.
Yeah.
But President Trump is in a war with his own top supporters on this.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he, yesterday, President Trump poured gas on the.
Yes.
On the whole thing.
The fire. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I may have to avoid saying some things, but I'm about to read his Truth Social post.
Just because of profanity,
yes.
You mean?
Okay. Yes. I have shared this in my personal Facebook page, but not the Today's
Issues.
Okay.
So what are you about to read?
His Truth Social post.
Whose Truth Social?
Donald
Trump. My Truth. Ed's Truth. Whose truth,
President
Chris?
Donald J. Trump's Truth Social post from yesterday.
Okay, go ahead.
He said, and I quote, the radical left Democrats have hit pay dirt again. Just like with the fake and fully discredited Steele dossier, the lying 51 intelligence agents, the laptop from Hades, which the Democrats swore had come from Russia, parentheses, no, it came from Hunter Biden's bathroom, exclamation point, and even the Russia scam itself, a totally fake and made-up story used in order to hide crooked Hillary Clinton's big loss in the 2016 election. These scams and hoaxes are all the Democrats are good at. It's all they have. They are no good at governing, no good at policy, and no good at picking candidates.
What did he say? Skip that. He's just doing his greatest hits.
Yes.
recollection there. Right. What did he say? I'm not criticizing you, Chris.
Yeah, I got you.
I'm saying, tell me what he said about Epstein.
Okay, so he says, I've had more success in 6 months than perhaps any president in our country's history, and all these people want to talk about with strong prodding by the fake news and the success-starved Dems is the Jeffrey Epstein hoax. Let these weaklings continue forward and do the Democrats' work. Don't even think about talking of our incredible and unprecedented success, because I don't want their support anymore.
Whose support?
The people took that as him taking a shot at Matt.
Read that again.
Okay. Let these weaklings continue forward and do the Democrats' work. Don't even think about talking of our incredible and unprecedented success, because I don't want their support anymore. Make America
Who's
great
he
again.
Talking about, Fred?
He's talking about Republicans, about Tucker Carlson, other MAGA friends.
Yeah.
People that are out there. Trump's saying he doesn't want their support anymore?
That's what he's said on Truth Social. Yes.
He doesn't even drink now, right?
No.
I mean, Trump's a teetotaler, right?
Okay, so here are the possibilities as I see it. Mm-hmm. And then I'll tie it back to what Chris just read.
You want Chris to read that again?
No, I do not. Okay, that's okay. Long. That was long.
I can have you read it again.
Go ahead.
Here are the possibilities. Jeffrey Epstein was a perv and trafficked young women for himself and maybe a few others, and he got arrested and was put in prison and knew he was never getting out, and he committed suicide.
Okay.
That's one possibility.
Okay.
And in that possibility, I would say, because this is what it seems like President Trump believes, that there were videos taken from his compound on his island, but that was all a particular type of pornography that is an abomination, and that was all taken by the FBI in their investigations. That will not be released, but there were no videos, and there is no list of people who participated in these illegal activities. That's all in one basket. That appears to be what President Trump is saying. That's why it's a hoax. The people are saying there's more to it than that. He's saying that's not true. Or some of that is true and some of it isn't. And we have no need to pick out which might be true and which isn't. Or the real conspiracy theorists are saying, no, it's all true and there's a cover-up. And there's a cover-up because there are too many important people mm-hmm. who are involved in all these illegal activities. And to release all that information could bring down governments, could flip the economy, and so on and so forth. I don't know which of those are true, but I think the Trump administration has blown the opportunity to keep this from mushrooming. I think they ought to come out and clearly state what they have, what's true, and what isn't, instead of insulting the people who want answers to questions that have not been answered yet by the Trump administration.
Fred?
Well,
he called it a hoax, Fred, yeah, like Bigfoot.
Yeah, he did. And those, I'm just reading some other networks, they're dealing with this right now just like we are. And I think it is providing right now some good fodder for Democrats to say, look at the division, look at the blow up within the Republican Party over this. So it's going to be interesting to see if Trump holds the line and just tries to blow through this and let's move on to something else.
Yeah.
Or in some late night tweet on Truth Social, he says, here are the basic ingredients, or Pam Bondi. Apparently, Pam Bondi's going to Alcatraz off of San Francisco today.
What for?
Well, we know she's going. This is just breaking news in some of the networks, but they're not telling us exactly what she's going to do there. The speculation. Talk about speculation. Speculation is she's sussing it out for places to put illegal immigrants that they're rounding up.
I will say, too, Caroline Leavitt is scheduled to have a press briefing today at 12 o'clock Central. We do plan on covering that on radio and in print later this afternoon. I would be shocked if a reporter does not ask her about this right off the bat.
Peter Ducey probably will.
Like, you're not doing your job if you don't ask about the Epstein stuff.
But now he calls somebody weaklings. Who are the weaklings?
Oh, I just think it's one of the words he's using to describe Republicans.
Yeah.
He's referring to Republicans.
Who have fallen prey to the Democratic hoax.
Yeah. Yes.
About Epstein.
Yes. It's all a MAGA.
Kind of. it's a good chunk of MAGA, but it's kind of like that, you know, that
I don't know.
Star Wars, remember?
Yes.
These aren't the droids.
I will say this for President Trump.
He can get away with more stuff and really not have to pay the consequences for his words more than anybody I've ever seen since Charles Barkley.
Yeah. And, you know, as an example.
Yeah.
During the campaign, he referred to Marco Rubio, who is now his Secretary of State, as Little Marco.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, he insulted him.
Lying Ted Cruz.
You know, it just...
He said Ron DeSanctimonious.
Yes.
The bird brain. Haley, never mind. She was his UN secretary.
Right.
Yeah.
He can hurl insults with the best of them, even at his own people. He's calling his own people stupid
and weaklings.
And the whole thing's a hoax. That's not taken away from any of his policy positions, which I think he gets elected on.
He's killing it in terms of his policies.
Yeah, but his rants and things that he does to insult people, I think a lot of people have separated those. You got the ranting Donald Trump, who will even go after his own people with insults, and then you got the can-do president over here who executes policy that is very good. So is that...
Yeah, no, I think that most of his supporters have factored in that he is... You know, we've said this for years, going back to his first administration, that he's a New York City street fighter. And guess what? That people who are that type of personality, they don't always say the polite thing. They're going to punch you in the nose. They're going to use colorful language. And so I think most of his supporters have factored that in. This issue of the Epstein files / list, if he doesn't get on top of this, this has the possibility to erode some of his support, I think. Maybe not to the end of his administration, but a lot of MAGA supporters do not like elitists. They don't like celebrities. They think that there's a two-tier justice system, as evidenced by the lawfare against Trump before he won re-election. And they hate that kind of stuff. And if they think the Epstein case is getting a pass and all these celebrities are going to get away with murder, not literally, but untold perversions, they're going to be very angry. Mm-hmm. I think someone needs to have from his administration a long press conference and lay out why Trump thinks this is a hoax.
Yeah, because what's going to happen is Levitt will come out and give a statement like she normally does, and then they'll move on into questions, and she'll revert back to her statement.
Yes, I just, to be able to call your own top supporters stupid and that you believe in Bigfoot is when you come to the Epstein files.
Yeah.
I just don't know how you move on from that to the next day to work with them on getting something else done, but I guess you do.
And we're 6 months away from really gearing up for another midterms. Democrats will use this to see he doesn't really care about you. And, oh, by the way, don't vote for J.D. Vance in 2028.
Well, if the attempt to bury this story, who knows if it's going to work? I don't think it will. I think it can erode trust.
But Trump says there's no story to bury.
Then prove it. You need to have somebody ask. So when Alan Dershowitz said, "I've seen the list, I know some of the names who are on it," the famous attorney who said, "I can't tell you who those names are because I'm under a gag order." Okay, that needs to be. Yeah. I want to know the answer to
that. If there's not a list, why is the Maxwell lady still in prison?
Well, she's in prison because Jeffrey Epstein did traffic young ladies, at least for himself, and she helped facilitate that.
Right.
That's why she's in prison.
We're moving on. We're moving on to the next. We got other stories to talk about.
We have Dr.
We have a guest. We have a guest too. So we'll be back with more. We're not going to talk about this story anymore today, at least.
moving on.
See you tomorrow. Be back in a minute.
This June 24th marks 3 years since Roe v. Wade was overturned. But here's what you may not know. Abortion numbers have surged to a 10-year high. The battleground has shifted from the courtroom to our homes. Today, over 60% of abortions happen through the abortion pill, taken in silence, often alone. Preborn network clinics are standing in the gap, meeting women in their most desperate hour. And here's what they're seeing. Young mothers, terrified and misled, are delivering their babies, tiny, perfectly formed, onto bathroom floors. These precious babies, once called just tissue, now lie lifeless. 11% of these women who take the abortion pill will suffer serious health complications. Countless others carry emotional scars for a lifetime. When you give to Preborn, you're not just saving a baby, you're saving a mother, too. You're giving her hope, financial support, and the truth. Preborn has already rescued over 350,000 babies, but there are so many more who need our help. Your tax-deductible gift makes this mission possible. To donate now, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:13.
American Family Radio.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues. That's the name of this program on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Tim, Ed, Fred, and Chris. Fred, before we go to our guest here, you were reminding us that the flood tragedy in Texas, the story still got a lot of unresolved parts, right?
While there are still hundreds of people searching, we just put an Associated Press story on the site this morning, and they say there's still 97 people in the Kerrville area that are still missing. So the recovery operation looking for people, and we assume now have all perished. But when you think about the level of the devastation caused by that flooding, and so it perhaps is not surprising. The story is kind of turning now toward, okay, what can we do to avoid this again? Remember, the flooding occurred 2 weeks ago this morning. It was early Friday morning when the first alert went out at 1:30 and then another one at 4:30 in the morning. So a lot of people are now kind of talking about, okay, what can we do to try to ensure that this level of devastation doesn't happen again? There's nothing you can do to stop flooding, but there are systems that are in place that we can better warning so that people in the area are warned more in advance to get out of that area before the serious flooding occurs.
I think people's heightened sensitivity to flooding or the possibility of flooding is really high right now. And it probably will remain so. I'm talking about all across America. Yeah. I saw yesterday in New Jersey, same thing. That didn't kill people, but...
Well, two died.
Oh, two died?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And on a flash flood.
Yes.
Type situation. Mm. So, this people, especially in that river there, the
Guadalupe
River, that won't ever happen again. It'll flood again, but you won't catch people off guard again.
Yes.
Like they were. The reason that happened, sadly, well, at all, I think, was that it's the middle of the night. You know, it took place between 1 and 5 a.m. People were asleep. They didn't hear their phones, couldn't get to people. I mean, it was the camp counselors at that camp didn't have their phones.
Yeah.
So.
And it was like 25, it rose 25 feet in what, 40 minutes?
Yeah. You're watching it in real time rise. I mean, by minute by minute by minute. Mm-hmm. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues. As I said, our guest now is Ted Baer. Ted is a longtime friend of ours. He has the Movie Guide. He's publisher and founder of Movie Guide, which a lot of people listening to us, I know, have used and still use to get reviews of maybe movies and television programs they would consider, and are they appropriate for your family to watch, for children, and so forth. Movie Guide's been around a long time, and Dr. Ted Baer is the founder. And he's got a new book out called The Golden Age of Hollywood and Broadway, The Legacy of Robert Allen, Behind the Scenes of. And it's Robert Allen was Ted's father. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning, Tim. Those two little towns where most of the flooding, there's a sign there, or used to be there, from Texas Historical that my great-great-great-great-grandparents, both families, were the first families to come in with Conestoga wagons and name the towns. And I used to go there in the 50s, and the Guadalupe was just a little creek, and you drive through it. There was no bridge. And it is devastating. In fact, up until the 60s, almost all the people were relatives. And, of course, then a lot of people from the north moved in.
Okay.
It's a very sad situation.
Yeah.
But it's even more sad because my family lived on top of the little hills, and nobody would live in the bottomland. That's where you farmed. You didn't live in the bottomland.
Huh. Are you talking about along that river? The Guadalupe River?
Hunt Ingram, Kerrville area, that was all family.
Huh. Wow. I didn't know the connection there. We're talking to Ted Baer. By the way, Ted's last name is not B-E-A-R, okay? So if you type that in, you're not going to, I don't know what you get. You get some kind of bear in Russia or something. I don't know. Ted B-A.
Well, here's the different bears.
Okay.
While we're chatting. Somebody the other day called me B-E-H-A-R. Now that's Arabic. And then Medved is Russian for bear. And then my name is Celtic. And then B-A-H-R is German. So B-A-E-H-R is a old Celtic name. So there you go.
Are you even legal, though, would be my question.
So, do you want any more history?
Yeah.
I'll give you history.
Hey!
Oh, by the way, I started Movie Guide at the same time as my great friend Don Wildman started AFA. We started about the same time, and you know, we were both on Oprah Winfrey about The Last Temptation of Christ.
Yes.
And it was one of my favorite times with your father.
Yeah.
Because Oprah said, none of you have seen the film. I said, I've seen it several times because the head of the studio is a friend of mine, so I can tell you all the changes. Yeah.
Well,
anyway, that would have been a book about my father.
Yeah. Yes. No, there's so much stuff we could talk to you about, Ted. You've been, you know, around for a long time doing ministry and trying to influence people in Hollywood who are influential themselves to, you know, to good morals and values and doing the best you can to introduce them to Christ, too, along the way. But this book is called The Behind the Scenes of the Golden Age of Hollywood and Broadway, subtitled The Legacy of Robert Allen. Tell us about it, if you would.
Well, if anybody's wondering whether Hollywood had a golden age, they did have a golden age. There was a period in history, and there are pictures of my father when he did 9 Westerns, the first Texas Ranger movies, and he's got a white hat on. He did 62 movies in all. He won the box office award. But, you know, people were quite different. Even the people that were on the edge, the studios tried to keep them sane and tried to keep any bad information out of the press. And it was a very different world, and it was a fascinating world. And he's got those, I mentioned the 62 movies, and his career was fascinating. He got out of Dartmouth, and he was working for a bank. It went bankrupt because it was the Great Depression, 1929. And then he worked for Curtis Flying Service, flying planes, and it went bankrupt. So he was walking around the street to join a breadline, and a big agent said, "You're a good-looking guy. I'll put you in movies." He went over to Warner Brothers to sign the contract, and they gave him the name Bob Allen, Robert Allen. And I don't know whether you know, Tim, but in those days, they gave everybody, including John Wayne, who was a friend of my uncle's and all these people, another name. And the reason is that the studio owned, Warner Brothers owned his name and would lend him out to their studios to make movies. So you sort of were the possession of the studios, and the studios were in control, and all of that blew apart with Lou Wasserman in the 60s, and now, you know, and the church film office was dominant at that time. They kept movies clean. The Protestant film office, which we inherited the files, and the Catholic film office, and even the Jewish Defense League, and then they all shut down in the early 60s. And when the Protestant Film Commission shut down, it went from 100% family films, The Greatest Story Ever Told, The Sound of Music, all those great movies. 3 years later, it went to 82% R-rated, the first Sex and Satanism, the first, and it was because the church left Hollywood. The church had been a dominant influence from 1930 to 1965, and it just, and all the Hollywood executives said, "Don't leave." You know, I've got recordings from the last meeting of the Protestant Film Commission, and the head of Paramount Pictures said, "Don't leave." So those were the Golden Age, and part of the destruction of the Golden Age was the church got tired of being an influence in society. That's why what your father did and what we do is so important, because we've got to be a voice into the darkness. You know, when I started Movie Guide, people said, "You can't talk to Hollywood." And I said, well, one of my sons went on to be a missionary in an area of Papua New Guinea that had been cannibal. Where can't we go with the gospel, Tim? Do you know? Do you have any idea? It's anywhere, and we should be there.
Amen.
Our guest right now is Dr. Ted Baer, founder and publisher of Movie Guide, and we are discussing with Ted his new book, The Golden Age of Hollywood and Broadway, The Legacy of Robert Allen. Ted, this is Ed. A lot of people don't, I would guess probably most people do not know what you're talking about in terms of the television guide and the movie guide, the kind of rules that governed entertainment, that you were not allowed to take God's name in vain. You were not allowed to have a protagonist who was a criminal. You were not allowed to make a criminal look like the good guy in a film. Obviously, you weren't allowed to have sex, but you also weren't allowed to disparage marriage. I mean, all these were rules that governed entertainment, and most people don't know that, because most people who are alive today are younger than me. I'm 66, but they have grown up with the filth and the violence and the promotion of wickedness, and they just think that's the way it's always been.
Well, you're right about that, and I'm impressed with your knowledge, because we've got a great historical background on Hollywood going back to the 1890s. But the short version of the Motion Picture Code was that you couldn't portray violence in such a way that a susceptible youth would want to copy it. You couldn't portray sex in such a way that a susceptible youth would want to, you know, be perverted by it. So all of those were put in terms that were very positive, and you couldn't slander or mock anybody's religion, because the code was written in 36 when the Nazis were, you know, targeting Jews, and that's what they didn't want to do. And my daughter-in-law, who writes for Fox News, just wrote an article that the press was very pro-Hamas and really propagandized. You couldn't do that. So those were sensible rules, that you didn't mock anybody's religion and you didn't mock, you know, sex and marriage, just as you said. In fact, if anybody wants a history of that, send me a note at ted@movieguide.org or write, you know, buy the book. Please buy the book. So if you want to know how to make the industry better, if you forget the past, you can't improve the future.
All right. This is a fascinating, I haven't read the whole thing yet, but fascinating book about a lot of the things you've talked about the last few minutes and your father's life. It's about the golden age of Hollywood and Broadway. Ted's dad and a lot of cowboy movie stuff in here too. So tell us how people can order the book if they want to get it.
Well, right now, if they do it quickly and they go to movieguide.org for the first, you know, few purchases, we'll give them a special gift. Now, the special gift is a link to one of my father's movies. If they don't want that, I don't know what else I can give them. And then Amazon, of course, is selling it right now. And that's the big platform. And the reason for doing it is to influence, help people to choose the good and reject the bad, but also to tell you that anybody can change. My father came to Christ 7 years after I did. I came to Christ because of somebody who'd gone to the Billy Graham Crusades in New York, who urged me to read the Bible, and it changed my life. I'd gone to Dartmouth and Cambridge and all these fancy schools, and hearing the gospel made the difference. So anybody can change, and we've had, you mentioned it, Tim, a lot of people who come to the gala have changed, people who are wonderful people like me, who were leftists, who were Muslim, who are all different backgrounds, have come to Christ and started to make movies with extreme Christian content. When we started, there was only one movie with positive Christian content. Now there's so many of them. There were 200 Christmas movies last fall, a lot of them produced by a friend of mine who come to the gala. So things have changed radically. And Tim, you've helped with all that because you've helped us for many, many years.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's Chris here. I have a question for you. We're talking about this at a time in which there are some big studios that are making faith-based stuff. Sony, I believe, has a faith-based division. You've got the Kendrick brothers still out there doing their thing and doing a great job there. You've got even Amazon now has like the House of David and stuff like that. So there is faith-based entertainment out there. What, if anything, should maybe like Christian colleges or what should the church, the body of Christ, do to make more Christian filmmakers going forward to build on what does exist today?
Well, I've been teaching this for a long time. I was head of a department of City University of New York and then head of a department at Berkeley. Don't be angry at me. I still feel you have to go into the pagan territory, but I teach how to succeed in Hollywood, how to succeed without losing your soul. And Alex Kendrick was one of my first radio engineers. You know what those people do.
Oh, yeah.
When he was a young teenager. But I try to get people to make movies that actually compete with Hollywood and make more money. The average Christian movie is doing about, you know, $6-7 million. At $10 a ticket, that's 600,000 people in a country of 360 million people. The average Hollywood movie, for instance, Superman just did a couple hundred million, mm-hmm. and at $10 a ticket, that means they're reaching 20 or 30 or 40 million teenagers in the country. And our biggest movie last year, which was great, and the producer came up to me and said, I'm a Christian, and he introduced me to the director, and he said, I'm a Christian, and he introduced me to the writer, I'm a Christian, and it made $2 billion at the box office. So at $10 a ticket, that's 200 million people in the United States. And that's what we want. I want to see, and that, you know, Hollywood is a business. I mean, part of what you read in my book about my father is the business of Hollywood. You need to understand the business. 60% of a movie is marketing. You can have the brightest, wonderful movie, like one of my favorite movies, and I'm going to see the star and the director next week, is Last Rodeo. But it didn't have any marketing. Hollywood spends $60-70 million in marketing. If you're in, you know, buy ads in Dallas, let's say, you're spending $100,000 on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, $300,000 for the newspaper, another couple hundred thousand dollars for the radio, and you're spending maybe $2 million a market. And Hollywood opens movies in 5,000 markets. So we've got to learn that it's more than just being inspired. You have to learn the craft, and I teach that. And there are good schools that teach that, too, except most of them are left-wing. And people who go to them, I love USC. I've taught
all right,
there.
But, so let me ask you a question, Ted. We're talking to Ted Baer. Movie Guide. Check out Movie Guide. That's if you want to say, okay, what about this film, that film, television show, whatever, Movie Guide has it all covered for you if you want to know the content of it and so forth. The book we're talking about is Behind the Scenes of the Golden Age of Hollywood and Broadway, The Legacy of Robert Allen by Dr. Ted Baer, B-A-E-H-R, Ted Baer. And his dad was an actor in Hollywood back during the Golden Age. Well, I got to ask you, what are your top three movies that you enjoyed, and/or actors from the Golden Age, if you will, besides your dad, obviously?
Well, Tim, you're asking me a question that I always avoided when I was teaching at Berkeley or USC. They'd ask me, what's your favorite movie? And I'd say something totally obscure like the Cannes Film Festival winner, Tree of Wooden Clogs, because nobody had seen it. But if you want the actual movies that I loved, you know, I love my dad's movies, which you just said don't use. It's a Wonderful Life, The Sound of Music, My Fair Lady. My father was on Broadway when My Fair Lady opened, so I went to that. I was a little boy. I'd go to all those plays, Camelot, great plays, and they became great movies. My Fair Lady was absolutely terrific, and Sound of Music was absolutely terrific. So there would be three. I have a list of the 100 best, and I try to get kids to look at the 100 best, because if you look at what's good, you'll do what's good, and you won't fill your mind with filth. And when you look at what's bad, then you get attracted to doing bad.
It's hard to get young people. Now, as I said, most people are younger than me that I interact with. But it is hard. I've tried to get my kids to watch some of the older movies. And I understand they can't go back and catch up, you know, 60 years worth of movies. But it is hard to get them to watch some of these movies. But like the three you mentioned, those are just spectacular. Just
what, so My Fair Lady?
It's a Wonderful Life.
And
My Fair Lady, I can...
Sound of Music,
yeah, I can watch that.
I own all three of those.
Yeah. Do you really? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good. That's good.
You own them all? You're like a Hollywood mogul?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Oh, you mean you own copies
yeah,
of
I'm on a first-name basis with Spielberg. Yeah.
Okay. Well...
If you want to, send me an email... Not everybody, because I can't give it away, because we release these 100 films and, you know, best films for 4th of July, 10 films, et cetera, or best films for Labor Day. But send me an email, Tim, or and I'll gladly send you my top 100 list, and you can look at them. Don't tell your audience, which I'm telling them right now, because I don't want to give it away to everybody, because it's proprietary information.
I got you. Well, anyway, listen, Ted... Thanks for being as you said, we've been ministry partners, so to speak, for decades. And what you like? What are you? You 70 something by now? What are you? How old are you?
79.
Yeah, you're not a girl.
And
so
remember,
I can ask you.
I spoke at your father's great birthday party many years ago.
Yeah.
And he was a mighty man of God, and we stood together against the destruction of the Dallas Film Office. So it's just been great to be involved. And I've done programs with you, Tim, from a bridge in the middle of Kiev. And the signal was terrible. So I remember that well.
Yeah. Ted Baer, our guest, B-A-E-H-R, Movie Guide is the ministry.
MovieGuide.org.
Movie Guide. All right, Ted, thanks so much, brother. Take care.
God bless you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Wow, what a great guy.
Wow, and it's been an excellent ministry. By the way, folks, if you go to movieguide.org, all the brand new movies that are out, Superman, the new Superman movie is reviewed there, the new Jurassic World movie, F1, the movie.
Huh. Wonder what happens in that movie. Jurassic Park, Part 17. Yeah. Do you think they'll be chased by any dinosaurs then?
I hear that there are dinosaurs that
on this island
that run amok.
Yes.
Wow, and people go there.
And people, and there's dinosaurs and then people running and screaming.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And one of the dinosaurs has a dress.
No, it's not that bad.
Oh, wow. Cross-dressing dinosaurs, huh, Fred?
I'm only kidding.
Okay,
but
I'm glad
just,
you are.
Just letting folks know that movieguide.org has up-to-date.
Right.
They also have all kinds of articles. They have movies that they recommend. Ted mentioned The Last Rodeo. That gets a very favorable review. And these are all detailed reviews that tell you exactly what's in it that is appropriate or Christ-honoring and those things that aren't. And so it's an excellent resource for people who want to know whether they can go see this and go see this with their families.
You know, listening to him, it's just a walk down memory lane.
Amen.
For someone my age, because I go back to TV shows like Leave It to Beaver and Father Knows Best. And, you know, moms and dads never had to worry about their kids watching that kind of programming.
That's the, and those programs are still popular over on like TV Land and some other places.
I watched when I was like 7 or 8 years old. I started watching Leave It to Beaver, and to this day, I will still watch it if I see it on somewhere, or I'll just pull it up on demand.
Yeah.
I've seen probably all the seasons several times.
Yeah,
it is a good show.
So what were the three movies he mentioned?
Sound of Music.
Yeah.
It's a Wonderful Life. And
My Fair Lady.
Was that Barbara Streisand?
No.
Oh.
That was
Breakfast at Tiffany's Lady.
Rex Harrison.
Oh, Hepburn?
And
Catherine Hepburn?
And Audrey Hepburn. Yeah. I can still remember Audrey Hepburn.
She beat out Mary Poppins for that role to get My Fair Lady.
Her voice in that, where she does the kind of street urchin kind of voice there in London. Wow, what a great movie.
My Fair Lady. Okay.
Great music. Have you ever seen
been
it?
It's been a while. I'm familiar with the title of it. I don't know. The other ones I've obviously seen. Sound of Music is a great movie. I watch that once a year anyway. All right, we'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.